We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And welcome back to WWL Draft Fest, live from Rouse's Markets on Airline at LaBar. Download the Rouse's shopping app and get free curbside pickup on orders of $35 or more. Deuce McAllister, Mike Dettillier, the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, alongside. I'm Christian Garrick, and the Saints just made their first pick in round five, DeMarco Jackson, linebacker out of Appalachian State. And so far, getting pretty good reviews. I don't know what social media is like these days. I'm staying off of it for right now. I try to stay away from it during the draft because it's full of overreactions or, quite frankly, silly reactions.
No, what it is people who they repeat what they hear, not what they see.
Yes.
Okay, and so that's a bad gig. That's a bad gig when you're just repeating what you heard somebody else say instead of actually watching them.
Haas, 19, you brought it up, 19 tackles for a loss for DeMarco Jackson. To me, that also spells instincts. That's a good thing.
And he can tackle.
Especially because of the jump.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you don't really look at the 27, 28. 2017 was a red shirt. 2018 just getting going. But those last three and just kind of boom, boom. And then those last 3 years will be pretty telling tale as to his ability. And one of the things Deuce and I were talking with Darren Rizzi about on Thursday, which seems like 2 weeks ago.
Like a week ago.
Was that Saturday would be kind of his day, right? They were going to have
yeah.
the time, you know, at least you know, one more pick that he would utilize for possible special teams. And then the trade, they lose, you know, rounds three and four, just left with a five and six. And so to get a guy who's going to come in and automatically has played it, because a lot of times in this situation, one of the things Darren talked about is that you're going to get guys sometimes who've never had to tackle ever.
Yeah.
Right? When you're looking at this draft class and you're looking at the top two, three, four, maybe they haven't had to tackle. But not the situation with DeMarco Jackson.
You know, they drafted Zach Bond Deuce a couple of drafts ago. And he's been in the third round. He's been largely a disappointment. Would you agree? No, you wouldn't. Hold on. Luke, turn Deuce back up if we can, please.
Got to turn Deuce up.
You don't agree that Zach's been a disappointment?
No, I don't think Bond. I don't think he's been a disappointment. I don't think that you draft a third rounder to come in and start. I think that you draft a third rounder to come in and contribute. And so at some point you want him to be a contributor consistently. Now, he hadn't done that. That's what you want. You want contribute consistently. He hadn't been able to contribute consistently, but I don't think as a third rounder, you're not drafting him to come in and start.
Well, I guess
to get Alvin Kamara to play at the level that he has played.
Or Trey Hendrickson?
No, I'm just saying both of those players, that kind of that gives you a false perception.
Yeah.
That now every third rounder should be doing what those guys are doing. The one thing that you would want him to do, and you got to also understand a little bit, he comes from being a pass rusher.
Yep.
Exactly.
And now you're asking him to be a stand-up linebacker. And, you know, he's
the wrong fit then.
No. I said this when they picked him. It's look what he did at Wisconsin.
Right.
Man, I saw all kind of stuff about he did this in coverage and that in coverage. Come on. He was a pass rusher at Wisconsin. He wasn't a coverage guy.
But here,
somebody sold others a bill of goods that wasn't correct.
Because
I saw it more than once.
Here's the thing, though, Christian. His best attribute is going to be rushing the passer. Is he better than taking a Cam Jordan off the field?
Mm.
Is he better taking at one point Trey Hendrickson off the field? Is he better than taking your number four? Let's go with just Passion off the field at defensive end. So that's what he's falling up against. And so it's like, all right, I got to get better at a stand-up linebacker.
Deuce McAllister, Mike D'Atelier, Mike Haas, Christian Garrick. We will continue Draft Fest live from Rouse's Markets on Airline at LaBar. Download the Rouse's Shopping app and get free curbside pickup on orders of $35 or more. This is Saints Radio, WWL. Welcome back to WWL Draft Fest live from Rouse's Markets on Airline at LaBar. Download the Rouse's Shopping app and get free curbside pickup on orders of $35 or more. Mike D'Atelier, Deuce McAllister. I'm Christian Garrick. Welcome in now the newest Saints linebacker, rookie DeMarco Jackson out of Appalachian State. DeMarco, congratulations on being selected by the Saints. I know this is a big day for you and your family.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
You bet, DeMarco. So just so you know who you're about to talk to, Saints all-time leading rusher, Deuce McAllister.
Former.
And former running back. It's been in my head. Deuce McAllister, along with NFL analyst Mike D'Atelier, and my name's Christian Garrick. Go ahead, Deuce.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
How excited for the opportunity are you? What are you looking forward to the most?
I mean, I can't tell you how excited I was. I was in that TV stomach and knots, and it just everything just released when I got the call. But, I mean, I'm excited just to get to work. I mean, I feel like I'm a guy who got a lot to offer on the field, like on defense and also in special teams to make a big difference. I'm just excited just to get to the field.
DeMarco, one of the things in talking to your coaches at Appalachian State, in particular one, Dale Jones, he told me about, you know how good he is. He gave me that stat. You're the only FBS player over the last 2 years, 200 total tackles, 25 tackles, and he said he's our leader. And so you got to take great pride when your coaches signal you out for your production and your leadership out on the field, and that's something you take great pride in.
Yes, sir, definitely. I mean, being a captain, them guys trust me with that honor. I just appreciate it, you know. I took it as a big tip on the shoulder to try to lead us and get us to the Sun Belt Championship. You know?
DeMarco, I think I hear your phone blowing up a little bit. Are people blowing up your phone?
It's people calling in and stuff like that. It's going to look great.
That's great. That is awesome. Who called you to tell you that you were going to the Saints? Which member of the Saints, coaching staff or front office, called you?
Well, I want to say the call, it is – it sounds bad. I'm unsure. I was just so excited. It just went
That's
bad.
Okay. I can understand it. I can understand it. Deuce, go ahead.
No, I mean, look, you're supposed to be excited. This is what you work for. This is what you put all that time in and effort in, and this is the opportunity. It's paying off for you. I guess for me, when you look at it, and give me some of your strengths. Give me some of the things that you feel like that you can come in and contribute immediately. I know you said, you know, contributing on defense and being able to help on special teams, but when you're looking at film, to be able to be involved in 200 tackles, is it film prep? Is it being able to diagnose just based off of down and distance? Is it, you know, formation? You're getting to the football. It just can't be all instincts. I want to know what you're reading and what you're seeing.
So for me, I would say I just taking my game. I feel like football is like 90% mental. Like going in, knowing the opponent, you should know what to expect, what they're going to run. So when I'm watching film, I'm just watching a ton of film. I break it down in the formations. I like to see what personnel. I break it down the formations, then the personnel. Then I just go from yard, like, down the distance. Like, what are they trying to do? What are they trying to accomplish on a – second and three versus what they're trying to accomplish, like on long, like long yardage, but they got to look. I just study a bunch of the film, really.
DeMarco, sort of explain to everybody your work on special teams, because your best friend now not only is going to be the linebacker coach, but it's going to be Darren Rizzi, the special teams coach. So you work on special teams over your time frame at Appalachian State.
So, for me, coming in, being a true freshman, I redshirted the bulk up some. But then after that first redshirt year, I mean, I was starting pretty much on all special teams. I was a 4-4 guy. Then going into the 2019 season, redshirt sophomore year, I just started getting into the role of playing a lot more, being a starting out at a wheel linebacker and also playing special teams. And I mean, I just always played special teams, even this year, being the captain, playing. I played kickoff and I played punt.
DeMarco Jackson, linebacker out of Appalachian State, the Saints' fifth round draft pick. How much attention, DeMarco, from the Saints did you get before the draft?
Before the draft, I met with them probably at the Senior Bowl. Then met with them at the combine for like informal. But then it just kind of went silent, and I worked out with them. They came to my pro day, and Coach Taylor did, and then it was just silent at the pro day, and I just got the call today.
DeMarco, in your work, you've talked about working at Will. You've also worked some inside, correct?
Yeah, I worked Will and Mike.
Okay.
And Sam.
So you've worked all three. I knew you worked Will and you worked at the Mike, but you also have worked some Sam.
Yeah, like our defense, anybody, like the Will can become the Mike, how we rotate.
Right.
And how our back is going, you know what I mean? So it all rotates the same. It can be,
gotcha.
You can really put it all of them.
DeMarco, did you have a big draft party, a little low-key? What, describe it.
For me, it was kind of just small, just family, a couple of friends. I just didn't want to have a huge party until after I knew, so probably invite some more family over and have a little cookout.
So it's on now, right?
Yeah. It's just hanging out with some family before I gotta head out.
DeMarco Jackson, once again, congratulations. Before you run, you know the saying, the chant of the Hoodat Nation down here, right? Why don't you give us a good hearty Hoodat?
Hoodat.
Is that right? That works.
That works.
Lucky A-Bear's not here. He'd have you do it over. But you did good, DeMarco.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, bro.
I appreciate it. Yes, sir.
Congratulations once again. DeMarco Jackson, there he goes. Linebacker out of Appalachian State, the Saints' fifth-round draft choice. We'll step away and come back and get more picks as we roll through round five into round six. We'll get reaction from Mike Dettillier as well on some of those selections. This is Draft Fest, live from Rouse's Markets on Airline at LaBar. Download the Rouse's shopping app and get free curbside pickup on orders of $35 or more. This is Saints Radio, WWL. Welcome back to WWL Draft Fest, broadcasting live from Rouse's Markets on Airline at LaBar. Download the Rouse's shopping app and get free curbside pickup on orders $35 or more. Deuce McAllister, Mike Dettillier, Christian Garrick, LSU Baseball in action right now. They won game one of the series against Georgia last night, 6-2. They are down in the bottom of the first inning, 2-0 to Georgia, trying to get a series win against Georgia, the 11th-ranked Bulldogs. Back to the draft, and we've had several players come off the board since the Saints selected DeMarco Jackson, linebacker out of Appalachian State. Anyone stand out? I know DeMarlon Clark is still on the board, Mike, after we talked about his possibility of him landing with the Saints because of his injury.
Man, you know, I got to go with my medicals, man. I think the world of DeMarlon, and somebody's going to steal him because he's going to come back a lot quicker than what people are talking about him coming back. Man, you've seen the video of his workouts. But, man, you know, you just feel bad. And every year, Deuce, you can comment on this. There's a player or two, they go to the combine, they find something.
It's going
to
happen.
That you didn't know you really had that bad.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, man, you take a free fall. We saw it last year. Remember with Troy Smith from Tennessee?
Yeah, yeah.
Trey Smith,
Trey, the guard. It was blood clots.
Blood
clots. His Tennessee knew it, and they were able to give him some medicine to help with it. But, I mean, he had zero issues last year in the NFL.
None.
And so there's different things that pops up from a medical standpoint. And the other part of it is, Christian, you always think that, hey, look, shouldn't your college team be checking that? They do, but not to that extent.
Not to that level, yeah.
Yeah, not to that extent what you have at the combine. I mean, they check you from top
I don't
to
know
bottom.
You'll ever get a medical like what they put you through at the combine?
Well, no, I mean, because here's the thing. You not only have each individual team, but each individual team has its own doctor.
Yep.
Yeah. So they don't make you go and get 32 different x-rays. They all look at an x-ray the same way. But if one guy has a question about it, he may send you to go get a different scan, or they want you to get a different MRI on something. And so it's all 32 different opinions on that. And so that's where it's a deep dive as far as medicals are concerned.
And when it comes to medicals, teams may shy away from you altogether and completely take you off their board because they're about to invest a lot in you, whether you drafted in the fourth round, fifth round. The money and also the time and the coaching, the development, roster spots are precious. So they're very, very cautious about those medicals.
The other thing, too, is with Trey and talking to him afterwards, he wasn't able to visit teams to
right.
have a doctor check him.
Because of the pandemic.
An individual doctor. And he was like, you know, man, I played all last year, you know, so what's the deal?
Yeah.
But the teams are, oh, well, we couldn't have our guy look at him. Okay, if you're a coach, you might want him. But if my medical staff says no, then I got to back off. Well, now, that's not the case with Damone. You got the medicals on him. But, man, it's still hard, and I get it, to press that trigger. But I'm telling you, somebody's missing out big on Damone Clark.
Anybody else that have gone off the board here recently that you feel like is a good pick or a steal perhaps?
I don't know about steal. A lot of that is
I got some personal favorites that I would love to see. I would love to see Ely.
Man, because Ely can run.
Yeah, he's more of a third down guy. A guy that could probably play the slot for you. He's a tailback by design, but I don't know how many true tailback carries he would get. I mean, I've known that kid since he was really all his life.
You could say it. He's a better baseball player than a football player. We thought he played pro baseball.
That's why I was so surprised when he signed with Ole Miss. He wanted to play dual sports. He loved football. But at South Leak, he was being basically scouted by college baseball coaches and pro baseball coaches in the seventh grade.
Wow.
Seventh, eighth grade. I mean, and so
wow.
You really thought that he would just go baseball because of his size. He's not a big guy. And I want to see he get drafted. And the other one is one of my former teammates, his son, Ty Chandler,
yep.
who went to Tennessee. And he ended up transferring last year, played at North Carolina. Chico, his dad, Chico and I played together back at Ole Miss. And so I want to see Ty get a shot. And, you know, he may end up getting drafted here in the sixth or seventh round. But those are two guys that, from a personal standpoint, and obviously you know a few more, but from a personal standpoint, you want to see them be able to get drafted.
Receiver at Ole Miss, Drummond.
Drummond is a young man that went to junior college. He's a big receiver, a bigger receiver, but he took advantage also of the extra year as far as
he sure
COVID.
Did.
And so from a coach's standpoint, you know he's mature. You know that he can use his physical, you know, size. And so but the issue that's playing against him is the age, because it's almost like I have this 21, 22-year-old going up against 18-year-old, 19-year-old. And from a physical standpoint, I can just be the bigger body. I can be almost like a bully in a sense. And so Drummond is going to come in and fit. If I'm a team and I use a single receiver and I need somebody to be physical as far as a blocker, that's my guy. That's my guy. Now, he's got to stay healthy as well.
Yes,
but
yes.
That's my guy that I'm going to use. I get in the two tight end sets, got a fullback in the game. I need a single receiver. That's my guy that I can use some play action with, big body receiver. He can help you in that standpoint.
About five picks remaining in round five, then we'll push into round six where the Saints also have a selection. Of the four picks so far for the Saints, which one's the most intriguing, Deuce?
For me, the most intriguing is your left tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, Penning, I mean, because here's the question. We know what Chris can do. That's not a question. He can step right in and help you and contribute and play. My question becomes with Penning, how fast is the game for him? Is it too fast for him and it takes a complete year for him to be able to come in and really be able to handle one of those tackle positions? He will play, but you want him at one of those tackle positions and preferably probably left tackle.
My thing is, I know what Olave can do. And I think he starts game one.
Yeah.
I think he's the starter.
Well, even
if it's game four,
well,
he's a starter.
Here's the thing with receivers also. He may not technically start because they're in two receiver set, but when you look at the percentage of plays, he's going to get a high amount of percentage of plays. He may not start as a lineup out there first snap. He's out there. But the percentage of plays that he's participating in will be high.
Because I feel much better Olave's impact will be instant. I can't say that about Penning.
I agree. I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't know if he can beat out Hurst.
Well, and that's what I was about to say. I wouldn't be surprised if he is not your bonus tackle.
Yep.
If he's not your bonus tackle early on, and then maybe game four or five somewhere in there, they feel comfortable enough to put him in as a true left tackle. But I wouldn't be one bit surprised if that's the case.
Yeah, when they go heavy.
And here's another one. If Landon Young is healthy, now I know you have a new offensive line coach, but trust me, they loved him. And he only played one game. You know, he played one game at that left tackle position, but he was on one of those lines. Matt Butler comes off.
Matt's a big guy. Yeah. Now, again, it's how he can turn his motor on and off. When he's on, he's a big guy in the middle, and he played big at times. But, again, he's the type of guy you're going to have the right defensive line coach, and he goes to the Raiders. But, you know, with Trevor, you can see that there's going to be some development here. As a pass protector, I don't have any question marks about him as a run blocker. The big question marks here is going to be how he handles pass protection day to day, so to speak, or game to game at that level. Because there is an adjustment. There is an adjustment on that particular deal. And listen, Hurst, he ain't giving that position up. You a first round pick? That don't make no difference to me.
You got to take this one.
Yep.
All right, so far, just to recap, DeMarco Jackson, linebacker out of Appalachian State, this latest Saints pick in the fifth round. Going back to day one, round one, Chris Olave, wide receiver out of Ohio State, the first round pick, the Saints traded up to get him at 11. They waited for Trevor Penning, left tackle out of Northern Iowa at 19. And in the second round, the 19th pick in round one, in the second round, Alante Taylor, cornerback out of Tennessee. So four picks in the books for the Saints, and they have a pick in the sixth round. We got about a handful of picks remaining in the sixth round, or in the fifth round, and we'll get into the sixth round here shortly. This is Draft Fest.
At least we got a pick, Christian, right. In round six, man.
Right.
And that, so it gives us something to talk about.
This is Draft Fest live from Rouse's Markets on Airline at LeBar. Download the Rouse's shopping app and get free curbside pickup on orders of $35 or more. This is Saints Radio, WWL. Welcome back to WWL Draft Fest live from Rouse's Markets on Airline at LeBar. Download the Rouse's shopping app and get free curbside pickup on orders of $35 or more. Deuce McAllister, Mike Dettillier, Christian Garrick. We found out now what the cannon's going to come in hot about, because Damone Clark, LSU linebacker, just went off the board to the Dallas Cowboys, and we all know about the Cajun cannon and how he feels about the Cowboys.
Listen, he got to be happy, though, for Damone, and I've known him for quite some time. You talk about a good young man. He finally turned potential into production last year. He's built like somebody carved him out of stone, played with that injury, and, you know, he didn't even know he had it. He goes to the combine, they find it. He would have been a second-round pick. Now he slips, you know, into round five. And, listen, once you get into training camp, it don't make a difference where you get picked. And he may miss a little time, you know, coming off that type injury, but it ain't going to take him long to figure it out. Man, he's a football player through and through. And you just watched him last year at LSU. Defensively, now late in the year, I got to give him credit. I thought they played pretty well for the most part, especially that front seven. Big part of that was Damone Clark, man, making play after play after play, running the field. And he's gotten better. He's not great in the coverage part of the game just because of the way he's built. I mean, he's almost 6 foot three. He's 240-something pounds. He can't run like you would and throw it in reverse as quick as maybe you'd like. But he's gotten better. He's gotten better in that range. It's the same thing with DeMarco with the Saints pick. He's going to need some work in the coverage part of the game. Because if you can't cover, then you can't play on the field much. I mean, you running out of downs. But, man, Damone, congratulations to him. I'm thrilled for him and that he got in the NFL. Man, I was hoping maybe he'd end up with the Saints, but end up with the Cowboys. And I'll pull for him because I know he is a really good young man.
Well, they have Damone and Sam over there, Williams, defensive end from Ole Miss. So I'm going to pull for both of those guys, but I'm not pulling for Dallas.
No, I'll pull for the individual player. And remember, they got the kid last year, Denzel Cox.
Yeah, you got Cox as well.
Yeah. The one thing with Jerry and the Cowboys, they pick a lot of LSU players. Pick a lot of LSU players, but, man, Sam, too, he was a guy that maybe had some issues off the field.
He did have some issues off the field. He had to grow up.
He was a bit of a knucklehead stuff, but he worked out with my old buddy Pete Jenkins out in South Florida, and he was like, Mike, that big man can rumble.
He is explosive as all get out. His lower center of gravity, his lower body strength is really, really good, and for him, you got to grow up.
Yeah.
And I think having a child – really helped him to mature and see that it's not about me, and having that opportunity now to be able to provide for his family, I hope it works out for him.
The Green Bay Packers are on the clock, and that's the last pick in round 5. So we're one pick away from going into round 6 where the Saints do have a selection. Also, just want to remind you, once the draft closes, once the 7th round is over, we are going to hear from either Mickey Loomis or Dennis Allen. You'll hear it live here on WWL when it goes down. That's typically the way the Saints have approached it because they might jump back in the 7th round. You never know. So they're not going to come out after their 6th round pick. They'll come out and talk after the draft closes. And it might be a while because undrafted free agents are after that.
We can testify to that. We had Zach's condo. They didn't have a 7th round pick. Man, we picking everything up. We ready to break. All of a sudden, bang. They get back on the board, and that's who they pick.
What are you doing?
And then when we saw the pick, it was, man, what the hell are you doing?
I love
the Kingsley.
I love
you. Call some of his games.
I call some of his games, and he is one of those players that he's the first player off the bus. I mean, he's got the build and the makeup. The problem with him was you couldn't get him. I think he had his eyes on the NFL.
I believe you're right.
He had enough people in his ear that was telling him that he was going to be a first rounder or a high draft pick. And what is this, Christian? You said this is the 5th or 6th?
It's 5th round.
So
that was the end of the 5th. And he was a player that was probably projected to be late first rounder going into the year.
Round 6 is underway. The Buffalo Bills have their pick in. They lead off round 6. Go ahead, Mike.
Deuce, you've seen South Carolina play. What Beamer has done there. Man, I tell you what, if somebody asked me, keep an eye on a team in the SEC, it would be South Carolina.
I think right now they are fighting Florida for number 2 in the East.
I believe you're right.
I think that, I mean, because they've got some talent. But Beamer has to get it put together. I think he's got his quarterback as well.
We'll step away and come back. Draft Fest continues live from Rouse's Markets on Airline at LaBar. Download the Rouse's shopping app and get free curbside pickup on orders of $35 or more. This is Saints Radio, WWL. Back here on Draft Fest, WWL, live from Rouse's Markets on Airline at LaBar. Download the Rouse's shopping app and get free curbside pickup on orders of $35 or more. Deuce McAllister, Saints legend, color analyst, along with NFL and college football analyst Mike D'Antilier, and the Buffalo Bills just picked a player that's going to fit right
boy.
In.
They picked with, out boy.
Yeah, with the Bills Mafia, Matt Areza, the punter out of San Diego State.
It's perfect for him.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now look, you go from San Diego State up to Buffalo.
Big
that,
difference.
That weather right there.
Them 80-something yard punts ain't gonna break the same way.
He's not gonna have as many of those, but he is going to. He would be the player like, where's Matt? Oh, he's out there breaking tables, you know, pregame.
He's out with the fans
breaking tables pregame.
He's gonna fit right in up there, Buffalo.
He'll fit perfect.
And no, he's one of the guys like Evan McPherson. Man, I'm gonna stay at here and I'm gonna watch the halftime show.
Too cool for school.
You know, the way he is. Now, he was calling out. He was on the field calling out wide receivers that weren't running as fast as he did.
At the combine?
Yeah. No, he is an unbelievable athlete now. He is an unbelievable athlete. But he's out there, and they had to tell him to leave.
Well, I mean, but that's why he's
that's why he lasted as long
six rounder because he's a third to fourth round talent.
Oh.
I mean, he has a leg and he can place it as far as on punts. But I mean, it's just like
you got. Do I want to put up with that?
Yeah. Do I want to put up with this from my punter,
my rookie?
Like Peyton Manning said one time that I'm in here. I'm in my fifth Pro Bowl talking about our idiot kicker at the time talking about Mike Vanderjagt. When he popped off some comments about Peyton.
But listen, that's typical. You know, Martin was a little bit different, Martin Anderson. But all of them kind of got wired little differently than most players.
They're like the pitchers of baseball.
You know most
football.
Punters? Most punters are basically like a receiver.
Yeah.
A wide receiver.
Diva.
Know, the divas type, you know, because you get your punters that can really punt. And what was the young man? Heckler?
Yes.
That could he had different punt styles. He had about 15 ways of whether it was a drop, the different spins.
And how you could spin the ball kick it a certain way.
I mean, because as a returner, I'm looking at the laces.
Okay.
I'm looking at the laces. I am looking at how it comes off of his foot, and that's going to give me the judgment of where to go to be able to get it. I mean, you go off his average. So if he's averaging about 40, I'm going to get it about 42, you know, and to be able to run up under it. And then I want to catch it off of his foot. Once it hits his foot, I want to be able to see how it's kicked. But for him, he can put a different rotation, a different spin on it. And so normally the spin that he's kicking, it's almost like it's breaking away from it. You know, baseball, how some of the pitches – based off of the rotation, they dip away. That's how a lot of his punts are. So you've got specialists now that's what they have in their bag. That's the tool that they have. And so you get some special teams coaches that, you know, they have to kind of rein those guys in. But, look, you got most head coaches, they don't know anything about that.
Sure.
They just tell, hey, look, just kick the ball where I tell you to kick it or you are out kicking the coverage. Who cares if it's a 60-yard punt if we can't cover it?
Yeah.
It's a net 20 because you gave up 40 yards on the return. And so the head coach, you don't want to hear anything about, well, coach, he's doing this new kick and, you know, pin the ball inside the 10, pin it inside the 5, and let my defense come out there and quit trying to, you know, have this beautiful punt where it's down at the 1.
Ed always tells me this story. He said, Mike, I was at Syracuse, and we play in Miami. The winner goes to the Orange Bowl. The loser goes to the Liberty Bowl. Now, that's the way it broke.
That's a big difference.
And so he says, man, late in the game, and we got a three-point lead, and I'm screaming because I see Devin Hester. And he said, I was on that team. I was on that staff at Miami, and I told him, do not punt the ball to Devin Hester. Do not do it. And he said, my special team coach pulled the deal off, and he said, hey, you coach the defensive line.
Let me coach
the special teams. He said Mikey hit a rocket shot to him. He said within 6 seconds, Hester's in the end zone. Yeah. He didn't score. And he said, come on. Common sense tells you, you have got to have watched that film and saw how good Devin Hester was as a punt returner. But he said, you know, I think they're smarter today. It was almost like arrogance. Man, I'm going to show you. Well, I'll punt it to you anyway.
That's exactly what it was. And my kicker will give me enough hang time, or my kicker will give back you up so far where you're not going to score 70 yards. Here's the problem. The wave of guys can't get there. You've got two lanes that are wide open, and the returner has set it up perfectly. Now all he has to do is beat one guy, and he's outrunning everybody else's angle.
So you say, you know what? Miami and Florida spent New Year's Eve and New Year's in Miami, and I was in Memphis.
Even Memphis at the Liberty Bowl.
Punters and kickers, you know, in baseball, that pitcher that's just a little off. He just talking to himself.
You don't go talk to him.
Yeah, mentally.
Just let him be.
They're just, you know, you see them out there talking to themselves, and they're batter, and they're fidgeting around. The punters and kickers are like the pitchers of football.
I agree.
They're a little crazy, a little weird. All right, Kyron Johnson, linebacker out of Kansas, the latest to come off the board to the Philadelphia Eagles, along with Darian Beavers, linebacker from Cincinnati, to the New York Giants. The New England Patriots are on the clock, and they're going to do something zany. They always do.
They might trade that pick.
Who knows?
Because Bill is Bill, you know.
Got about 11 more selections, and the Saints will go on the clock. They got the 15th pick in the sixth round. As it stands right now, they're last of the day, but that could change rapidly. He's Mike Dottigliere, along with Deuce McAllister. I'm Christian Garrick.
This is Draft Fest live at Rouse's Markets on Airline at LaBar. Download the Rouse's shopping app and get free curbside pickup on orders of $35 or more. All right, we don't have a break yet. All right, we're going to stay right here then. Mike, when you look at some of the players that could be there when the Saints go on the clock in the sixth round, anybody that kind of stands out to you or a position, what are you looking for?
My thing is running back, offensive line. I'm still looking for an interior player, a guy that could play guard and center. And there are a couple guys that it could help you out. Big wide body guys. They probably need a little bit of work in the pass protection part of the game. But you're looking to build a little bit of depth here when you're picking in the fifth, sixth, seventh rounds of the draft. And what's interesting, okay, the first couple picks were all on offense, right?
Yeah.
You picked a receiver and a tackle. And what's happened since? Dennis Allen, man, give me that defensive back guy. Give me DeMarco. You can help me at linebacker and on special teams. And so how that's done, I'd like to know kind of the insights with that, with Dennis being certainly different than Sean, who always pitch big time for offensive players. I mean, that was his deal late in the draft. Man, I need more offensive players at that spot. So we'll see how it goes, but you see some spots here, if it's in the secondary, if it's at running back, offensive line, or where you could use some depth all across the board.
The Saints have picked four players so far in the draft, coming up on their fifth, if they stand pat and don't trade back into the sixth round or into the seventh round. In the first round on Thursday, Chris Olave, the wide receiver out of Ohio State, they traded up from 16 to 11 to get him, started a bit of a trading frenzy. And then at 19, they took Trevor Penning, the offensive tackle out of Northern Iowa. In the second round, Alante Taylor, a cornerback from Tennessee. And here most recently in the fifth round, DeMarco Jackson, linebacker out of Appalachian State. And he was a fun interview. He seems like he's all business, DeMarco Jackson. And he talked about his ability to play
100%
special teams.
100% business.
Here's the Cajun Cannon walking in. Saints fan for life.
Somebody must have messed up his clock because he's actually a little bit early, but he's good. He's good. It's 3 o'clock almost.
Yeah. It's always perfect timing for Bobby.
He's always rolling in. But, you know, again, I always think that there's a player that you have rated higher than maybe you look at the sixth round, you say, how did that guy still up on that board? And I've got to go to my scouts and say, wait a minute, guys, explain me something. How did this guy who maybe we have ranked 100 and, you know, we pick in at, what, 194? How did he last this long? Explain me that, and if you give me a good explanation, I think that's where I'll go. Because I think every team is like that. I think they either position specific or there's a player.
Deuce, this could be an opportunity, and the Saints have done it in the past. Sixth-round pick, if it's a priority free agent you don't want to negotiate against other teams with, you go ahead and select him.
Yeah, no, you go ahead and get him now. I mean, and so now you at least have him under contract for 3 years if he makes your team. But I don't have to negotiate with him as far as, you know, some other teams. And there's my guy, Ty Chandler did. It was fifth round. Yeah, Ty is going up to the Vikings. So that's a good spot for him to be able to go up there and learn from Cook up there. So that's a good.
And they have Madison also.
Well, they got Madison, who's a really, really good receiver, but a good runner as well. So he's been able to fill in. A little bit.
How much longer they gonna have Madison though? Because he could tag out.
Not gonna be able to afford him. You're not gonna be able to afford him.
I think this will be the last year, and then he can get out.
Yeah, so
he'll be a free agent.
And that makes sense for them to pick a young back to be able to come in and learn, and you know possibly be able to step in and help them out a little bit. But yeah, Christian, I think this is with the Saints not having a seventh round pick. This would be where you have a high priority free agent that you really, really like. You go ahead and pick him here.
Yeah,
you go ahead and pick him here because you don't have a seventh, and now you get ahead of the game. And trust me, they are already on the phone with agents telling them, hey, look.
Man, we don't have a seventh-round pick. We would have picked you in round seven.
If I had
to tell that to 20 guys.
You got it.
Hey, Coach D.A., he told me to call you and told me that you're on the board. I don't know what we're going to do, but.
If it doesn't work.
No. If it doesn't work. You're my guy.
You're my guy.
So I'm going to get back with your agent, But you're my guy. And, you know, we loved when we talked to you over at the Senior Bowl, and I loved your film. You know, you go to one of the scouts and get a little more, you know, info on them so you can kind of fill them in. But that's what's going on now.
And in particular, and
that script goes to the next guy.
Same thing.
And to the next guy.
Same thing.
Deuce, you mentioned Combine and Senior Bowl. That's the theme with the Saints picks. Senior Bowl, you know, presence at the Senior Bowl. And combine conversations.
Or a private workout.
Private workout.
Or a private workout. I mean, because even on a private workout, they try to keep it where it's not – everybody doesn't know about it, and they've got to have some trust with the not only the player but the school that they're going to, because you don't want to tip your hand. And then sometimes they have private workouts for a young man that they don't even have any interest in. But they have to be able to sell it, and this would be a high first round and not someone that they're picking fifth or sixth round, but this would be a high first rounder that, hey, look, we're going to work these three quarterbacks out and we're going to meet with them. They don't have interest in that. And that was this year's case, but, you know, that's sometimes how you have to do it.
Or they'll do it, they'll work them out, especially a high pick at quarterback, to get some intel on them for when and if they play him and if he ever becomes a free agent.
How many high pick quarterbacks become a free agent that you truly are interested in?
Not many.
Because if he is becoming a free agent as a high pick first rounder, he had some issues.
Or what if you're trading for him 3 years down the road, perhaps?
No, which may be the case. But if he becomes a free agent and a team drafted him in the first round, what went wrong with him?
Same thing with Jameis Winston. I mean, it's similar, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, the Saints probably at no point really talked to Jameis Winston, not being the number one draft pick overall.
Sean went work him out.
Yeah, I think they did.
Sean worked him out.
He's talked about it specifically that
he's worked out every top quarterback they could. I think Sean trying to get a little bit of intel.
He may want intel on it, but, I mean, at no point did you think that they were
going to. No way.
No, not at all. But, I mean, I think he's talked about it where he'll use that in the off chance that they might become available via a trade or an opportunity to acquire them.
That's true. I mean, but at the same time, if a quarterback is available.
I know. I totally agree with you. I agree with you.
Now, I'll tell you all a story. Eli Manning tells me this. Man, every year at Manning camp, boy, Peyton's out there, and he's with these young quarterbacks. And, man, what do you really struggle with? What do you struggle with? Eli said, man, how dumb can them guys be? Because one day Peyton's going to use it against him.
He's going to use it against him.
I'm telling you.
He doesn't like this coverage or he doesn't like this look.
And he said he's going to be in a position to use it against him. He said they don't realize that. They just think Peyton's, you know,
talking
and trying to be pals with him. But he said, I'll tell you, Peyton's going to use it against
him. He's sizing them up. All right, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, is in the house. We are live at Draft Fest at Rouse's Markets on Airline at LaBar. Download the Rouse's shopping app and get free curbside pickup on orders of $35 or more. This is Saints Radio, WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.